So today I'm going to be presenting on a research project that I presented on last year, but this year I'll be adding one more year's worth of data. This is a project I did for my master's degree at the University of Hawaii on a local organic fertilizer called meat and bone meal, or some people call it tankage. And I was looking at the yield and growth of sweet corn and also below ground the water nitrate concentrations. So part of my research is looking at increasing sustainability in Hawaii. And two key components of sustainable agriculture are, one, using local resources. Because we are a remote, isolated island, everything needs to be shipped in. You can see the huge Matson shipping line here. And so anything that is available locally is preferred to use to reduce that carbon footprint of the shipping. And another part of sustainable agriculture is growing crops in a way that we can have a good yield, but yet limit the adverse impacts to the environment. And you can see the picture of the sea turtle here. And so even in Hawaii, we have beautiful clean water, but the nitrate in the water still has a negative effect on the wildlife there. So meat and bone meal is one of the most promising fertilizers for Hawaii because it's locally produced and available, and it's a low cost compared to some commercial organic fertilizer alternatives. It's high in nitrogen, usually about 10% nitrogen, and you can see the complete analysis at the bottom of the screen here. It is used on organic farms, so if you're a certified organic farm, you can use it. But one of the issues with this fertilizer, it hasn't been well researched. You can see the white super sack bag here. This is how it comes from the manufacturer, and it doesn't have any directions for use. It doesn't even give you an analysis at the time of purchase. So this research was aimed to develop more recommendations on this fertilizer for use for Hawaii's farmers. One important part of organic fertilizers compared to synthetic fertilizers is the mineralization. And the organic matter needs to be mineralized in order to make the nutrients plant available. And this process takes time, it needs moisture, and it's an important component of making fertilizer recommendations using organic materials. Previous research with the meat and bone meal found that in a laboratory incubation with leachate columns, 50 to 75% of the nitrogen was available in the form of nitrate within the first 90 days, which is quick release for an organic product. So the two objectives of my research were, one, to evaluate the sweet corn growth and yield and quality to the rate and timing of application of meat and bone meal. My second objective was to determine the soil nitrate concentrations from the application of meat and bone meal at two depths within and below the root zone. So you can see from this diagram here, here's my little pointer arrow, we're trying to get at the point where the yield response starts to level off with a minimum nitrogen loss. So based on the previous mineralization experiments and other researchers who have used meat and bone meal, it is available worldwide, although the formulations are very location specific depending on the feedstock used in the batch. We predicted that the optimal rate of application will be between 224 and 392 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. And this is based on the mineralization rate study done in Hawaii and the global recommendations for nitrogen on sweet corn. So my experimental design was a split plot, RCBD, and the timing was the main plot treatment, and the rates were the subplot treatment. And this experiment was done, replicated on two sites on the island of Oahu in Hawaii, And these two sites varied in elevation, they varied in rainfall, they also varied in soil type. The Waimanalo Station, which is on the windward side of Oahu, is in a mollisol soil, whereas the Pomoho Research Station site, closer to the north shore on Oahu, is in an oxisol soil. So for materials and methods, we did all kinds of growth and yield measurements. We also looked at bricks for our quality, and we monitored the leaf nutrient status using a SPAD meter, and also did tissue testing. For objective two, to look at the soil water nitrate concentrations, we used lysimeters with a ceramic bottom where we applied vacuum pressure and collected weekly to get a measure of the soil water nitrate concentrations at two depths within and below the root zone, as you can see right here. So the lysimeters were at two depths. You can see this one on the left is at a deeper depth, and then this taller one is at the shallower depth. So for the results, this is a graph showing the yield of the sweet corn, and based on the nitrogen rate from the meat and bone meal on the x-axis there. You can see that the yield did increase with increasing rate, and from looking at the curve too, we don't really think that the yield peaked at this site at Waimanalo. Now looking at the Pomoho data, we saw the same response, that the yield increased with increasing rate, and I forgot to mention that at Pomoho we added an additional rate at 672 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. And we're kind of starting to see the plateau at the end of that. Now we did have a lot more variability, as you can see in the Pomoho site. And that just happens when you do field experiments. I'm sure you've all dealt with that. So plant growth, we came up with similar curves as we did for the yield, and we looked at plant height, root, and shoot biomass. The next measure, this is kind of a complicated graph, but this was the SPAD meter. So the SPAD meter, we took weekly readings, and then the actual numbers here aren't the SPAD readings, but they're converted to a SPAD sufficiency index, as the equation from Varvel et al. You can see here in the bottom left corner. So we used the high rate of 448 kilograms per hectare as our reference crop, and we compared all of the rest of the SPAD readings to that number using that equation. And so the red line that is across these numbers, it kind of shows the cutoff point where the leaf nitrogen is sufficient. And so that shows us that at rates of 336 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare and above, the SPAD told us that that was sufficient amount of nitrogen in the leaf, whereas rates below that, the interpretation was, well, we could have side-dressed with additional nitrogen and increased our yield. So this was a really robust reading for us because we had so many readings at both locations over the entire period of the study. So now I'm going to talk about the results about the nitrate concentrations. The first one is the within, and I just wanted to show you these pretty pictures before I put up all the graphs. So within the root zone, so that's what is available to the plant at that time in the root zone. And this is our collection from the lysimeter. So this is a graph of the Waimanalo Research Station, and the colorful lines represent the different rates. So the bottom line is the control, the lowest rate, and the top line is the highest rate at Waimanalo, which was 448 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. And so these are pretty typical results that we saw for the rate. I'm not going to show the graph of Pomoho because it looks similar to this. But I put a little green line in here for the 30 milligrams per liter, and the literature that I've read has given a mark of 20 to 30 milligrams per liter concentration of nitrate in the soil water, which is sufficient for the plant. So most of the rates were sufficient for the plant in the beginning stages, but at the end, it wasn't always sufficient for the plant, even though sometimes we did a split application, but that had little effect. It was not significant here at Waimanalo. So that's just something to note. We would look for some way to improve our timing. One thing we're considering is like running trials with fertigation, because the way we did the split application was a side dress and incorporation. So next I'm going to show the nitrate nitrogen below the root zone. So this is what would be potentially lost to the environment. It would be below the root zone. I mean, some corn roots do go to a depth of 60 centimeters, but most do not, and it might be at a level with a heavy rain. It could be leached into the groundwater and detrimental to the environment. So in this graph here, I'm showing the nitrate concentrations by the application timing, because this is really, you can see the gap between the two levels. The blue line now is the meat and bone meal applied all 100% at pre-plant, whereas the red line is the meat and bone meal applied at split. And so by applying the meat and bone meal in a split application, we greatly reduced the nitrate losses. And you can see the levels that where the blue line is sitting, you know, around 60 ppm. That's more than the plants need. So this graph really exemplifies that. And we saw similar results for Waimanalo, so I'm not going to show the Waimanalo graph here. So just to summarize the results of my study, we found that the highest rates, the 672 and 448 kilograms of N per hectare, they were maybe too high and caused the nitrate levels below the root zone to exceed what we would determine as a safe level. The green zone right in the middle we determined from our SPAD and our yield plateau on our regression graphs for the yield. In the yellow at the bottom, we still did get a yield, even with no fertilizer, which might show some inherent fertility of our Oahu soils. And then our tissue testing levels at the control and the 112 were sometimes deficient in nitrogen, like a little less than 3%. So in conclusion, this was the first study that we know that has looked at the independent and interactive effects of rate and timing on meat and bone meal. So we were able to validate the research that had been done previously on the rates and also the mineralization. And we also found with the split application, we were able to reduce potential for nitrate leaching. So more work could be done in that area. I'd like to thank everyone and take any questions at this time. A question?
There is a direct relationship between the SPAD readings and the nitrogen content. How about the SPAD readings and nitrogen? Can we establish a relationship?
Oh, yeah. So the question is, can you establish a relationship between the SPAD readings and the nitrates in the soil water? When I did a correlation of those two, they are correlated to a certain point in the beginning growth stages, like corn growth stages V1 through 7. They're highly correlated in a linear way. But then at the end of the growing cycle, the SPAD continues to go up, whereas the nitrate in the soil water decreases at the end of the study. So they are well correlated at the beginning, but towards the end, they go different directions. Question?
My question is then, how consistent is the standard packages that you receive?
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, you said there's no information on it, and then through the manufacturing, how do you get
it? Yeah, that is a great question, and the question was, how consistent is this tankage material that we get? We have done a batch-to-batch analysis, and it's kind of plus or minus 25% of the N, at least. Like, the average N is 10%, but we have gotten batches with 8% N, and we've gotten batches with 12% N. So there is some degree of variability, much more than you would find with a synthetic fertilizer. So that is a little bit of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the question is, how do farmers deal with that? And we just tell them to use the average analysis of 10%. Yeah. So it's not a perfect science. Question? Yeah, we did use drip irrigation for the study. That was the question. And we used the drip irrigation the entire study. We have associates at our research stations who are in charge of the irrigation, but we would periodically check with like a TDR and soil moisture testing to make sure that the field capacity or like depleted maximum allowable depletion was 50% or less at that time we would irrigate. And every time we did check it, we found our research technicians were doing a good job keeping it irrigated, especially at the Pomoho site where the water is very expensive and they like to cut back on it a little bit. Yeah, thank you. Okay, I think we're out of time. Thank you very much.